this is Amazing Performances. Get ready to start your day with Special K. And now, from the 1010 KXXT studios, here's your host, Kevin Pecos.
Welcome to another Amazing Performance Radio broadcast. It's Friday, October 24th. Is that right, Mark?
You're right on the button there, Kevin. Right on the button.
Big day. We'll tell you why. And I'm Kevin Pecos, and that, of course, is Mark Air Johnson. Together, we're your new voice for morning radio in Arizona, the number one morning radio show in the state.
The most listened to radio station.
Absolutely. And if you want to know the facts, just call us. We'll tell you. Bringing you the good news of people in sports and entertainment. And we always want to remember that today is the future. Is it the future that you hoped for? And since mine is, I want to say hello to the people that make it possible. To my wife, Dana. To the kids, Jamie and Jeremiah up in Flagstaff. To moms, Kip and the family, Jack and the four-pack. And a reminder that we're on 6 days a week, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 8:30 for Amazing Performances. And you can get there by azfl.com and just click on the Amazing Performances banner. Got a list of guests we've had this week and the ones upcoming right there on the website. Saturday nights, Mark, ASPN.
Saturday nights it is.
Arizona Sports Network.
The action, the fun, the high school sports scores and things of that nature. And national, local.
Everything. Absolutely everything. And we stick to the Arizona side. We'll give you the scores from the big games all around the country. But by the time we get to the end of the show at midnight, after 4 hours, you'll have all the scores from all the high schools, colleges, junior colleges, and pro teams.
You will literally know everything about sports at the end of the night.
Absolutely. Or as much as anybody else does.
That's true.
But you'll get the Arizona people.
All local stuff, too.
Yeah, try getting that anywhere else on a 11:30 at night, driving around town, punching buttons. All you're going to get is national feeds. So it's pretty awesome stuff.
Yes, it is. I agree.
The show today is a special one. We've had some amazing guests this week. We started out Monday with an interesting topic on why Democrats should not vote with our guests. All these shows are archived. You can go hear them. Al Perinello, and then we had a guy who picked us all up the next day to talk about, you know, things you need to know about feeling better.
Happy things.
That's right, after the depressing one Monday. And the family series we're doing with Jimmy Butler and his family, the Life After Death series. And yesterday we had a disaster preparedness guy.
Yes, we may have a disaster someday, so we need to be prepared.
Yeah, but it wasn't depressing.
No, it wasn't. It was kind of like just be careful, sort of.
That's right. And next week we got an interesting lineup, an expert in nutrition, and he wants to tell us if what we are eating is eating us. And then Tuesday, a Reformed Jew turned born-again Christian is going to give us his story. And 101 on Thursday, on Wednesday, 101 reasons why you should not hire a personal trainer.
Wow.
Why it's a waste of your money. And then we got a pet guy coming in on Thursday. So we got a lot of exciting stuff happening. But today's show is, for me, it's special. The song we came in under, which is Bette Midler, That's the Rose. And today's October 24th. And in 1980, on October 24th, I married my wife, Dana.
Wow.
Yeah. And two things you can draw from that. One is, she's insane because she stuck with me, or she's crazy for marrying me.
Now, Kevin. So,
but it's been 28 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a 26-year-old daughter. And today's show, you know, we just wanted to talk about that and, you know, what it's like to... You're single, right, Mark?
Yes, I am, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well... That helps, actually.
Well, you know, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, well, there you go. I've been married 28 years, and I can say the same thing, but that's not a bad thing.
I'd rather be married.
Yeah. Oh, man. You didn't read the scripture, did you?
Well, you know, it's good in both ways, but, you know, I guess if I had my particular wish, it would be to be married.
There you go. Well, then you just have to take that to the Lord. One of the things I wanted to make sure that we did was dedicate this to Dana, and to, you know, because there's something, you know, the Bible tells us that a man who's found a wife has found a good thing, And, you know, it's true, and it's also true. I mean, all our lives we're being taught everywhere, at school and everywhere we go, that you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. Now, of course, that's a half-truth, because you can't be something you're not qualified for. I mean, a kid might want to be an astronaut, but you're going to have to do some things, you know, and you might want to be a singer on a national TV show, but you're going to have a voice.
That's true.
So you can attempt to be whatever you want to be. But there's always some, there is a caveat in there, and that is the Lord will give you the desires of your heart, which is different than what you desire to be sometimes. And I knew from a very early age, you know, really, really young, that if I ever got married, that it would have to be, someone special. And as I got older and went, you know, worked with the pastor at our church, Glenn Foster, he's now deceased, but, I worked with him full time for 6 or 7 years right out of high school. He had one of the most amazing marriage teachings I've ever heard. You know, this is back in the 70s, and but he was, you know, he was pretty blunt about it all. He just said you have to approach it directly. You have to go directly to God, and you have to tell him what you want exactly. I mean, he just asked me point blank. He said, "Well, do you want? You're just going to accept whoever God sends you?" And I said, well, shouldn't I? And he goes, "Well, do you want to wake up with an ugly woman next to you in 5 years? I mean, he's not being smart. He's being honest. He said, "You have to tell the Lord what you want."
That's why on my prayer list, it says hot mama.
Narrow that down.
I'm joking, of course.
Yeah. That sounds specific, but there's a lot of ways you can go wrong with that one. Sorry, Mark. That's a good one, though.
not true, though. I'm joking.
No, but that's still a good one. But that sort of says what he was trying to tell me. And, you know, you everything else in life we... You know, when we say we want to get a car, we know exactly what model, make, the year, the size of the engine. You know, we know everything about it, and we won't stop until we get that car. I mean, that's the goal. Kids, young people, they won't stop until they get the new iPod, the new game, the new Wii, whatever it is. They have a very specific, and if you give them the wrong one as a parent, sometimes it's not a good situation.
No, I bet not.
You know, yeah, they look at you and smile and say, maybe, and this is not from personal experience because I didn't ever have that happen with Jamie, but you see kids get mad because it's not the right thing. And the one thing that Pastor Foster was very explicit about was everywhere else in our life, we tell God exactly what we want, what kind of house we want, what kind of job we'd like, and we pray specifically for those things, for those objects, for those the desires of our heart. You know, we're not talking about food and dessert and treats. We're talking about things we're going to use for a long time. They're going to become an integral part of our life. And except in relationships, it seems so often that we're willing to settle for something far less than what we really do want because we're not as specific with it. Now, I don't know if it's because there's no one there to teach us that, or, you know, that you can be that specific, or if people can't tell the difference with maybe they feel wrong about asking for. I didn't understand until he explained it to me how to be specific, you know, and the person I not and he you have to learn how to pray too. It's like before you can. And this is not about visualization. It's not about the New Age mantras and cells where they – it's not about the – and I call it a BS term, what the mind of man can conceive, it can achieve. If that was true, there's some things that we've been missing from this planet: war, disease, death, and hunger, because we can all conceive of a hunger-free planet without war. And if the mind of man could simply conceive that and then we could achieve it, then we'd have something. But none of that ever happens that way. So people who use that statement in their life have actually put a plug in their dreams because it's not going to happen.
Not necessarily anyway, huh?
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, if whatever you could conceive you could have, then you wouldn't want for anything.
I'd be married right now.
You'd be married. You'd have the car, the home, and your neighbors would – there would be no suffering. We wouldn't need to worry about the election because the statement isn't true. But – the people of God have the ability to go to him with very specific items, and he already knows the desires of your heart, but you do have to be able to communicate with him and not accept what just falls your way. So it's, you know, with 28 years with the same gal. And one of the things I prayed with Pastor and to set it all up and to help work with it was that I would know her before I met her. I mean, you read that in the chapters with Jonathan and David and stuff when he's bringing the wife and stuff, that my heart would know her heart before I met her. Actually, literally, before I actually physically saw her, be able to identify her. And a friend of mine came up to me one day and said, "I just met this pretty blonde girl, and she had this great smile, and the Lord said, that's your wife."
Wow.
I hadn't even met her yet. You know, I didn't even meet her for like a month.
Wow.
And he told me that it was my wife. Six other people in our church said the same thing. They had met her, but we had not yet met. And they all said the same thing. "We just met your wife today, Kevin."
Wow.
You know, it's like, really?
That's pretty neat.
You know, well, you know, it's, he asked me to, he told me to pray for specific things. And like I say, when you are very specific about your needs, you're going to get very specific answers. You know, it's really that simple. And I didn't conjure anything up. You know, I always wanted to marry a blonde girl with a great smile and a great heart and a great attitude, someone that would love the Lord more than me.
And you got it.
And I got it. And but when we first met, you know, we knew there was something there. But she had been through things in her life that the Lord told me what I could never talk to her about anything in certain areas at all. I just had to be a friend, nothing else. I could never say the words to her, "The Lord told me that you're my wife." Even though all the people in church had confirmed it and I'd already been praying for her, he said flat out, "You cannot say to her that you're going to be my wife."
You had to kind of do it slow, huh? It slow and easy.
He knew what I didn't know. She had just come from Christ for the Nations, and because they call Christian Bible School Bridal College. And women there have, I guess, because I found out from her later, you know, months into this friendship, that apparently all the spirit-led, powerful children of great men of God in these Bible colleges were all prophesying that she was going to be their wife.
Oh, my goodness. So a lot of guys wanted her.
Well, it's a typical process. You know, when you get in with, you deal with young people, the name it, claim it generation was alive and well back then.
Right.
And whatever you want, the hook, and if you're raised in the church, then you're taught to obey authority, and they're speaking with the authority of God, which is, this is what God says you're going to be. And he just told me before I even knew anything about that you cannot ever tell her that. And it was months and months and months before it ever came up, and it came up from her side, you know, that we should be more than friends. It actually came up in Glenn Foster's office. We're talking, we're visiting with him up there, and her and I both worked in youth ministry, you know, teaching. She worked in Sunday school, and I'd been working for 4 years with the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And so we had common ground there. We were talking to Glenn one time and planning a field trip, and we'd already known each other for 3 months. We'd planned a trip with some kids to the zoo. And he looked at us, and all of a sudden he said, "Have you two ever been alone on a date?" And we realized that after all these months, no, we'd never actually been alone ever together.
Wow.
Not even one time. We always had children with us or other people from the church, you know, and ever. And yet, and he just said, "You know, you need to get real here. You need to plan a date with just the two of you."
Yeah, spend some time together.
Spend some time together without all these other distractions. But It was an interesting process because, just like I said earlier, whatever it is, if I could have just conceive it and have it, then really, truly, this whole world would be different. I mean, I get so angry with the statement like that, and the one we tell our kids growing up, you can be whatever you want. You really can't. You have to pick something.
Yeah, well, that comes from positive thinking books, I think.
Yeah, well, whatever it comes from, it's an incomplete statement. And you can't name it and claim it. But everywhere else, everything we do in life, we have a plan. You get up every day, you go to work, you do certain things, you have a routine. And if you don't do the things you have to do, your life's going to change. And the whole time that her and I were married, whenever we needed to find a home or find a school for Jamie, we would just tell the Lord what we wanted, and we would seek out those specific things and do it with prayer and do it with, you know, fasting. But we would name things. We would specifically say, this is what we would like. This is what we'd like our daughter to have growing up. This is what we'd like the opportunities for her to be. And he would provide them. But we had to go actually go and search for it, just like you go and shop for your car, shop for your house, do the things you have to do, which is a difficult process.
In other words, it wasn't just dropped in your lap.
It wasn't just dropped in our lap, and we didn't just say, oh, it's coming, so we can just kick back and wait for it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying there.
You know, but very specific. I mean, she, the wife that the Lord brought to me, like I said, before I even met her, I knew her, literally knew her soul. And who knew that if I would have said those words to her, she would have fled instantly, because the issues she had, you know, in bridal college or Bible college were severe in terms of the pressure and stuff. And she's a woman. She's actually she graduated from Bible school. She's basically technically an ordained minister. She just didn't want to pay the $5 or whatever it was then for the certificate. So,
but she has all the qualifications.
She does. And it was just an interesting situation, because everything she does, it's prayerful, it's thought out, it's planned, it's full of hope, but it's full of reality. I mean, we live in this world, we're not of it, but, and we are aliens. It's like there's a pastor in Flagstaff, Jim Dorman, who, you know, he states it simply and very clearly. We are the visitors in this world, and as things change culturally and politically, that becomes more obvious that we're the enemy.
I'll say.
Yeah, but there's peace in that, because we're not here to be served by anyone else. We're here to just serve the Lord, and He'll take care of the rest. So it doesn't really matter the climate situation around us, but we have to be realistic about it. And the situation with Dana was amazing. When our daughter was born, after she was born, our doctor said it was impossible. She couldn't be born. Dana had the condition that prevented her from giving birth. So, but, you know, we didn't know that. All we knew is that we were praying for a child, and very specifically, I wanted a girl. And we ended up with that girl, and right after she was born, the doctor says, well, this is sort of a miracle. It should never have happened. And soon after that, you know, medically, that was arranged so it could never happen again. But we did. I got to hold her in my hand the minute she came out, within minutes of her coming out. And she literally fit right in the palm of my hand. But she wasn't. We weren't supposed to have kids. I mean, according to science and medicine and everything else. And we ended up with a blessed, anointed child. And it doesn't stop there. It's like every day of Jamie's life, when she was born, every single day, her mother and I would pray by her bedside, and we would pray simple prayers for her life. But one of them was that wherever her husband is right now, that he has his angels around him, that to protect him and to raise him up and to bring her to our daughter in such a way that before he met her, that I would know him. And that's exactly what happened. Ironically, I had a picture of him on my desk. Of course, it's football. One of the things I told my daughter she could never do is marry or date football players.
Wow.
And at all costs, I went from quarterbacks, because they're just the worst. But I had this picture on my desk for months and months and months, and the Lord kept saying, that's her husband. And I would turn it over and push it under a pile and say, nope, that's not the guy I want. And that's the guy she married.
Wow. How about that?
So not only did he help me select the wife that I wanted, but he brought me the perfect wife, raised her up, trained her, prepared her for us. He brought and prepared a daughter for us so that she passed the fact that physically and medically Dana could not give birth. And he delivered her into our lives. And then he delivered my son-in-law into my life, and he allowed me to be there in church to baptize him and bring him up out of the water. I held my daughter in my hands the day she was born, and I held my son-in-law in my hands the day he was baptized and reborn.
A string of miracles.
Absolutely. And, you know, I realized, Dan and I were talking about it the other day, I realized that the entire focus of my life has been to bring this family to life, and to bring this thing that I dreamt of as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old. Yeah, you can think about it that early. And I realized that everything I'd ever done, everything I ever wanted to be, we've accomplished that.
That's awesome.
And Jamie and Dana and Jeremiah are the evidence of the miracles. And are you there?
Yeah, no pressure, huh?
No pressure. That's my daughter, Jamie. And she, of course, lives in Flagstaff with Jeremiah. And, you know, 28 years, Jamie, your mom and I.
it's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, and to be completely honest, the whole time we were growing up, I was growing up, I was always basically threatened with kids. You know, hope you have kids so you'll know what I went through. And I read all the books on Dobson when I was 18, 19, went to all the films and heard about the terrible twos and all the stuff. And I can honestly say, Jamie, that outside of maybe 5 or 10 minutes here and there your entire life, including high school and teenage years, actually we argued once for like 3 days, but it wasn't arguing so much as I wasn't going to give in and neither were you. And you didn't give in. You just did what the Lord told you to do. So it wasn't really a fight. And that's the kind of life we've had, myself, Dana, and Jamie, and Jeremiah. And so what do you think, James? Was it all worth it?
Absolutely. I'm just really grateful to have parents that gave me a good example of what marriage should be and what it is and what it means and, you know, that it's, explaining that it's not always easy, it's not a bed of roses, but that doesn't mean it's not worth trying and still loving, you know. I'm just really grateful for that. I mean, my husband's from a broken home, and that's all he knew, pretty much. I remember before we got married, him saying, I don't know anybody whose marriage lasted. And we could think of two people, and it was my parents and one of his aunts. And that's it, that he knew, where he saw a good marriage growing up. So I'm really grateful for that. I mean, not only for myself, but for him, because he sees it working. And, you know, to be honest, when we have a fight or anything, usually it's like a race to see who can call one of you two first. Because that's who we go to. You know, obviously I'm going to go to you guys because you're my parents, but so does he. So it's usually who can ever get there first to tell their side of the story.
Yeah, and we always say the same thing. You two need to get together and work it out.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was kind of a funny thing that at our wedding we actually had three preachers. I had Glenn Foster, who was the head, you know, the pastor of the church, Larry Brown, a good friend who was a pastor, and Jack Duran. All of them on the altar at one time, and Glenn said, "Man, this is going to be an ugly night. I don't know any preachers that can talk for less than 5 minutes." But we realized later that this were no mistakes. We had the threefold cord, and we had the people in our lives praying for us that we didn't know were praying for us. Like, I know Jeremiah didn't know growing up that your mother and I were praying specifically for him, for you, that he'd be protected, safe, and brought to your side. You know, and it's important to note, too, that regardless of the life he had grown up, because he grew up, you know, in Wyoming in some small towns. He went through some stuff, and he was lucky to be alive, you know, because you and I and all of us went on a trip there, and he told us some stuff, showed us where he grew up, and the Lord provided for and kept him and brought him to you. And it was a major miracle in itself, but we were praying specifically for him with you while you were just a baby. And, you know, the Lord did show me who he was before, you know, it was declared. And like I said, I just, you know, I'm a dad. It wasn't the picture I'd draw. But what I was most impressed with, regardless of his life, is that you two dated and you got married as a virgin. And I want to say that because it didn't matter how much you loved each other. You, because of your decision with the Lord, waited and he honored that.
Yeah, I give him a lot of credit for that because it wasn't, you know, something that he chose and decided for himself. It was something that I chose for us.
Right.
So I give him a lot of credit for that. I really do. I mean, I don't know many people who can do that.
Yeah, I don't know too many who can do it on their own. I think what we need to know is that, just like the series we're doing with Jimmy Butler and his family, that it takes a lot of people praying very specifically for very specific results. And those were some of the things you, your mother, and I, and others were praying for. Because when you have a relationship that's based on trust and trust alone, and you don't need other things to make it, to prove to yourself that it is what it is, then you will have a long relationship.
Yeah, I believe that. And I really do appreciate you and Mom for showing such a good example.
Well, she has a big stick, and she can be mean sometimes.
She taught me the life lessons that matter.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I appreciate calling in, Jamie.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
Tell Jay I love him.
I will.
All right. Well, that's it for our show today. Happy anniversary to my wife of 28 years, Dana. And we're pretty close to the end, right, Mark?
Yeah, we got about 90 seconds to go.
All right. Well, I just want to remind everybody that today is the future. Is it the future that you hope for? And I want you to make sure that the last thing you say to those you love is the one thing you want them to remember for eternity. If it wasn't, call them now and change their future today. See you on Monday.
Attention, weekend warriors. Tired of chasing people in shorts and pulling flags in a game they call football? Don't you just want to knock the snot out of that loudmouth player? Put on the pads and do it. Knock him down, knock him out, and play real football. Be a man. Play a man sport. The Arizona Football League has tackle teams from around the state playing every Saturday through May. If you are 18 and can get your own equipment, or if you're under 18 and can get a note from your folks, you can play too. If you have the guts, get in the game. Call 1-800-877-AZFL or visit us at www.azfl.com.